Hello everyone, welcome to the B2B SaaS podcast. I'm your host, Upendra Verma, and today we have Yash Shah with us. Yash Shah is the co-founder and CEO of a company called Momentum Ventures. Hey Yash, welcome to the show.
Hey Upendra, thank you. Thank you for having me.
Yeah, so Yash, so let's try to understand what Momentum does, right, and how you're helping SaaS founders these days.
So Momentum primarily helps SaaS founders and SaaS firms acquire, convert, and retain customers. Primarily builds out sustainable, scalable, repeatable go-to-market strategies for SaaS companies. And we work with SaaS founders, identify skill gaps within their team, and across engineering, marketing, and design, we fill those gaps.
And what sort of an engagement are we talking about, right? So do you come in with your team and like just help us walk through maybe a couple of, you know, recent firms that you work with so that we can get, you know, understand it?
Sure. No, absolutely. So we primarily start with a problem definition. So we identify problem, consequence, solution, metric, and then we identify what are the gaps in terms of skills that exist within the client's existing team. And then we work together to figure out what would be the team structure. We build that, and then it essentially works as an extension of the team. And it's primarily sort of an output driven engagement that we have. So we work with them on an OKR method, which is objective and key results. We do weekly check-ins. That's something that we did at ClientJoy as well. And so we identify what are the objectives, what are the key results, what are the initiatives, and then check in every week, how are we moving towards our goals. So as an example, one of the clients that we have is Cloud Presenter. Cloud Presenter is the meetings webinars platform. So we came in, understood that there are certain challenges that they are facing in terms of there is significant amount of traffic that is coming in, but it is not converting into signups, and the signups are not converting into paid customers. And so we work with them on optimizing their conversions across their website, working on user activations after the signup has happened, in terms of tours, emails, trip campaigns, stuff like that, right? So that's typically how we sort of engage.
Yeah, it looks like you do a lot of things, but do you primarily stick to just the GTM side of things, or because I see a couple of engineers as well in your team, how does that even work?
Yes. So engineers primarily also are required for implementation, right? So as an example, implementation of CRM, implementation of product analytics, implementation of affiliate programs. So the engineers that we have, they primarily work on GTM related engineering challenges. Yeah. That a SaaS company might have. So they also work on RevOps. But yeah, so that's primarily where we are.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. And just help us understand, right? So how many clients you work with so far, or how many active clients you're working with today?
So we worked in total with about 23 clients. We currently have five active clients. 23 SaaS products up until now. Help them at various parts of the funnel. So one of those 22 clients, actually. So one of those was ClientJoy, that we built, grew, and operated, and did everything for. So that's sort of where we are.
Okay. That makes a lot of sense. And just help us understand the engagement model, because like, looks like you're bringing in a lot of expertise. That's not, you know, so easy to explain even in the first place, right? So how do you charge one of your clients then?
So, the idea is that so let's say if you're a SaaS founder, my conversation with you is if you're able to move your sign up to paid conversion rate from, let's say, 5% to 7.5%, that's only a 2.5% improvement, but it's actually 50% more revenue, right? Would you give me 5 months, to work on that? And how much amount of value can I generate? So let's assume that you're doing $50,000 in MRR. If that 50 can move to 65 with our engagement in MRR over the next 4 or 5 months, assuming that there is no other effort that's going on your top of the funnel, right? This is just the same traffic that's coming in. So it's primarily value-based pricing. So depending on the scale of the SaaS company that we engage with, we figure out how much is this worth. And so the problem definitions are, I'm losing. So as an example, I'm doing like $23,000 in monthly. I'll not be able to name the client. This is very specific, but I'm doing 23K in MRR and losing $1,500 as churn, right? Which is above what it should be, significantly higher than what it should be. How do we fix that, right? And so then we sign an NDA, we get access to everything that you have, starting from Google Analytics to your intercom, to Mixpanel, to Stripe, to Bare Metrics, whatever it is. We go in, we also join you on your demo calls, we do customer interviews, we look at your comparators, G2 reviews, all of those things. And we come back to you with a couple of strategies that we can implement. And that's when the pricing conversations happen. So it is at this point of time, it's a boutique consulting firm, right? So we don't have, it's not like we have a series of offerings that, okay, we'll do like SEO, we'll do like PPC, we'll do XYZ. It's primarily, tell me your problem, tell me the consequence of that problem. We'll dig in, identify what the solutions could be, and then we'll work on a success metric. Yeah. Like if we are able to achieve it, if you're able to take this from X to Y, X to X plus Y, in the next 5 months, 6 months, then here's how it will work.
Give us a sense of these, you know, founder profiles or company profiles, right? So who are these people? Are they primarily technical founders who's looking for that GTM expertise? Yeah. Or are these, you know, bootstrapped companies who doesn't have too much funds to, you know, hire a crazy GTM team, and so they're coming to you? Like, just help us understand, you know, the profiling of this particular company.
So it's typically, we work with $20,000 to about $100,000 in MRR types of SaaS companies in developed economies. Mm-hmm. More often than not, these are engineering founders who have found early success in the market. And so they would have probably anywhere between 5 to 10 years of work experience, and they are well networked. They have tremendously good understanding of the problem, and they've built a great solution. They've spoken to the customers, but, and the first couple of years of building the SaaS product went under the assumption that if you build a good product, then more people will come to the product, right? Which now is turning out to be false. And so probably typically like for the past 3 or 4 months, they are acquiring as many. So like they're acquiring, almost exactly equal dollar amount as much as they are churning out. Mm-hmm. And they're feeling that they are stagnating. And in that process, a couple of other similar competitors have also come out, and they've seen them doing a little better. And so that's typically like a founder profile. More often than not, they are tech based. A lot of times they're also growth and marketing people. There are a lot of times that they have five people, seven people marketing team as well. But then in those cases, there are specific GTM channels that they don't know how to activate, or they've already tried. So typically when they start to build a GTM team, they would have, a person in content marketing, a person in PPC, a person, a couple of those things, right? And it's difficult to find someone who's already run an affiliate program or run a referral program, or has implemented PLG motions, right? And so my conversation to them is, my first call with them starts with like 5-7 mistakes that we did at Client Joy. Mm-hmm. And which is where they find a lot of relative, right? That, hey, you know, this is already happening with us, or this happened with us, you know, a couple of quarters ago. And so in cases where there are growth founders, we engage on a specific GTM channel. More often than not, they are engineering founders, though, who have tremendously good understanding of the problem. They found early success. Mm-hmm. And now they are trying to figure out how to actually scale this.
Yeah. So one last question here before we sort of understand your journey about Client Joy, right? So where are you finding all of these, you know, founders and companies, right? So what's your channel that's been working for you yourself to work with?
So up until now, it's primarily been network. So having run a SaaS company for 3.5 years, I'm fairly well connected with a lot of other SaaS founders, because it's typically like we have each other's shoulders to cry on. And so it's from the community. So some amount of credibility building that has happened within the community that is helpful in acquiring these customers. Going forward, and it's been a very short amount of time. Right? So it's only been about, I think, four and a half months mm-hmm. since we started Momentum. And we can talk why it's only been 4.5 months, but up until now, it's just referral. What we ourselves are working on at Momentum is creating internal SOPs, right? So, mm-hmm. so we are essentially, importing the SOPs that we had, when we were running a SaaS platform, when we were running Client Joy, but those were for internal users, right? Those were not meant for clients to look at. Yeah. And so now we are sort of doing some amount of paint work on them, making them beautiful, making them as if someone can understand it in absence of me or a couple of other people who we have as part of the core team. And so that's a function that we need to fix first. And then we'll start to build. So the idea of just using referral networks was to get an understanding of who our ideal clients are, right? Which I would say we are getting there.
So yes, like why start a consulting firm after you have a successful, you know, SaaS exit? It's often the other way around. So people go from agencies to SaaS because they're tired of you know, working with individual people and all of it. Now they just want to sell software and be done with it. Right? So why the other way around?
Yeah. No, so this is, so it, interestingly, before Client Joy, I ran an agency for 5 years. And so I built a tech agency, built 23 SaaS products as a part of that tech agency. And we were a 55 people team at that point of time when we decided to drop that.
How big was that in terms of top line revenue that you did for that agency? Just want to get a sense of that.
Not a lot. We were close to, in today's dollar value, we were close to like anywhere between 500 to 650K in top line, right? So that is not a lot. But it is good profitability. And we got to take some capital home at that point of time and gave us cushion to start something like Client Joy at that time. So, but coming to the question as to why start an agency is so the last 3.5 years I've burnt myself. Burned myself in terms of the amount of effort that I've had to put in to grow a SaaS product, right? So the next 3 years is where I'm looking and hunting for other product ideas as well. And then this is just essentially something to keep in touch with the market, what are the things that are happening. And so it's a little bit chill because it's not a new business. I've done this for half a decade before. I already have subject matter expertise up to a certain extent, at least for inbound verticals, as I have subject matter expertise. And so I work a lot less than I used to work at Client Joy. It's still full time, but I work a lot less than
that,
I used to.
That makes a lot of sense. So the top of the elephant in the room, right? So what was Client Joy, right? What was the story there? So just give us a sense of what was the insights and how much revenue did you grow it to and what happened after that? Just summarize it for us.
Sure, Ed. So Client Joy primarily is a CRM for agencies and freelancers, a fairly small agency. We ourselves, as I shared with you, we were a tech agency, 50 people team. We were using, at the time, we were using Pipedrive, PandaDoc, and then client management was happening on Asana and Slack, followed by, I think, Zendesk or something like that for ticketing, and then QuickBooks for invoicing. At the time, QuickBooks was available in India. Mm-hmm. And it was extremely difficult, right? So client conversations would still happen over WhatsApp and email. And we were like, you know, a typical project has like 5 or 6 people on our team. And we cannot have 8 tools for a project that is employing 5 or 6 people on our team. So we started looking out for other solutions. We found a couple of great solutions out there. But then we also started speaking to our friends who were also running the agency. And then the conversation was, you know, when we genuinely looked out, there were these solutions. Why aren't you using them? And there were conversations around, you know, spreadsheets are better. We make decisions from our gut. We don't have a lot of clients because we are high ticket agencies. And so our clients typically pay us 15K to 20K a month. And we're only a 35, 40 people team or something like that. But ultimately all of that meant that there was lack of visibility. And the client agency relationship was under stress. Right? So the clients always felt that they are overpaying and the agency always felt that they were overworking. And so we said, this seems to be an interesting space. This is very crowded, which means that there is always a market. And B2B is not like B2C, right? Which is where the winner takes like 90% of the market.
I'll sort of get into the metrics, right? I think you're telling me the right thing. So I just want to quantify that as well, right? So at your peak, right, when you got acquired, right, so how many customers you had, how many agencies you were serving on your platform, approximately?
Sure. So 16,000 customers, 16,000 agencies from 90 odd countries were using Client Joy. They were using Client Joy to engage with about 1.8 million manage about 78,000 clients.
And how big of an agency are we talking about? I know there's going to be a spectrum, but median agency that would pay you, right? Yeah. So how much would they pay you?
So an average would be, the average ticket size would be anywhere between, let's say $200 to $250 a month. That would be the average ticket size. And their size would be anywhere between 11 to 50 people team size, out of which they would buy probably 7 to 10 licenses.
Okay. And like, and you did all of that in just like 2 years, right? So that's what I'm understanding.
Three and a half.
Okay. And like how did you do that, right? So like, what was that revenue at that point? Like, was that number public? Are you willing to share that?
The revenue number was not public. I would have shared if had we not been acquired, but now yeah. It's not mine.
Okay. So did you cross like $1 million in revenue at that when you were selling it?
Annual run rate?
Yes.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, okay. It's way more than that. Then yeah, that makes a lot of sense. I just don't want to multiply those two numbers, like $16,000 and $50,000.
Sure.
Right? I don't want to.
No, you
that.
Cannot. You shouldn't.
That's why I'm not giving you any numbers. I'm just getting a vague sense of it. Right? So, just help us understand the growth story, right? So, like, how do you do that, yeah. right? So, how do you get to 16,000 customers, even though they're SMBs, right? How do you get there? What was that channels that were working for you? And again, this is such a crowded space, right? So, this is, I mean, the CRM for agencies, I mean, that is just so much crowded, right? So, how do you get there? So, what worked for you?
So, I think a very, very good understanding of who our ideal customers were. That was most meaningful. And I also quantify that, right? So even when you asked what was client, I said CRM for agencies and freelancers, but, and that's what we say on the website, and stuff like that. But when we, so after, I think close to about 8 or 9 months of the product being in the market, we were, we had close to about 500 odd customers, and all of these customers were primarily through cold outbound, some amount of network, some amount of outreach on LinkedIn, some very basic paid marketing and stuff like that. Once we had the 500 customer mark, and not all of them were paying, I think we had 70, 80 people who were paying. But once we reached to the 500 customer mark, we sort of did a closed one analysis, right? And divided them into cohorts according to industry, according to size, according to geography. And what we found was that the 11 to 50 team strength digital agency in US and Canada were sort of the ICP, right? And so going from, I think, about 8-9K in MRR per month to 100,000 MRR per month, all of our efforts, which were our SEO, our lead magnets, our email campaigns that we were doing, even some things that I was sharing on my LinkedIn, all of those things were just answers to the questions that founders of 11 to 50 digital agencies, US, Canada had. And so what we would do is we would essentially identify their questions through Reddit, Quora, Medium, LinkedIn communities, Slack communities. And then we would, so let's say in a month, we would identify 40, 50 questions that these founders would have. We would then put those into SEMrush to identify the balance between keyword difficulty and search volume, as you typically do. We would take those topics, put that in Surfer SEO, which would give us the ideal word count, the ideal keyword density. And then from an SOP standpoint, it had to be an 8 on 10 for that to be approved as a blog. Mm-hmm. And then we wrote such answers and articles. And then we distributed that, right? Mm-hmm. So that was our first and the largest channel, I would say. The second bit were lead magnets. So lead magnets were again answers, but they were not ebooks, right? So there's a difference between, you should never do ebooks. If you are inbound, I would strongly recommend not doing ebooks. It's boring. People don't read it and you genuinely don't put in any effort. I mean, you don't put in a lot of effort unless you're a brand like Stripe or something like that. So your lead magnets should be templates, cheat sheets, something that they can print, something that they can have a spreadsheet of or make a copy for. And stuff like that. So we did close to 16, 17 lead magnets. What we would do is we would launch each one of those lead magnets one lead magnet every month on Product Hunt. And then every 3 months, we would identify which one performed better on Product Hunt. And then we would run retargeting ads for that particular lead magnet. We tried a bunch of different platforms. Ultimately, Instagram worked well for us. So across Meta, LinkedIn, Twitter, but Instagram, we landed on. So that was the second sort of biggest channel. The third biggest channel was competitor funnel, right? So which is like the typical competitor funnel. I'll not explain. Yeah. Very simple. So these were the three primary funnels. There were a lot of other experiments that we did. Mm-hmm. So we tried, I think we invested $25,000-$30,000 in advertisements outside of Google and Meta, which didn't work. So we tried advertising on Unsplash, on Behance, on, I think there was another platform for digital marketers, assuming that these are the people where, these are the places where our ICP hangs out.
Yeah.
They didn't work. It could be because of the platform. It could be because of us as well, the way we executed that. Our referrals didn't work, our affiliates worked. So we had referral program built in as well. But that didn't work to the expectation, but our affiliates worked like that was amazing.
Mm-hmm.
And then there were a couple of other, and of course, when we were running ads, then of course in that a lot of campaigns would fail.
Yeah. So just a question here, right? So I know you clearly explained this, how you got to these customers, right? So my question is like, why were they coming to you? Like, why were they switching from what they were doing today to, for example, let's say a client show, right? So what did you have that, you know, that made them switch, right? So was that price point? Was that, you know, some 10x product experience? What was that? If you can, you know.
Absolutely. So I say an agency matures in, this is a very industry specific answer, right? Might not apply to a lot of people, but an agency typically matures into their CRM purchase journey a lot later than other sectors. So as an example, a manufacturing setup or a pharma setup or an educational setup would mature into their CRM purchase journey on the day that they start or within the first 6 months or something like that. An agency uses spreadsheets more often than not until they're 30 people, 20 people, because they don't need a lot of clients, right? Unless they're doing itemized services. They don't need a lot of clients and they don't feel the need. And so, our inbound was more of demand gen actually. So we would have to make them realize that, hey, you know, if you had this, it will be beneficial.
Mm-hmm.
And, the other thing that we did, I think really well was that the funnels that we built, we sort of took Client Joy out of the picture, right? So you were trying to be their bigger, big brother of sorts, trying to help them grow their agency. So, as an example, if you subscribe to a lead magnet or saw an ad or in any way, shape or form, if you got your lead, instead of sending out a monthly newsletter around what are the product updates in Client Joy, we would send out a weekly newsletter into how you can grow your agency this week, right? Mm-hmm. And that content was not necessarily written by us. That content could be a video on YouTube that is really well produced, like some random podcast, whatever the case may be. And that's what I would do, right? So you had momentum. I will start a weekly newsletter where instead of doing the podcast, I just put in one of your episodes, right? That if you're running a SaaS company, here's a great episode to check out. And so that way, the only client association was like the logo in the email, and then everything else was just about them. So that was also helpful. But the blogs that we wrote and other content pieces as well, and even the templates and formats and stuff like that we wrote, they specifically spoke to the ICP that we had. So as an example, one of the lead magnet that we had was, financial projections template for your digital lead. Now, you don't typically build financial projections, but and at the end of the year, your agency is profitable, but there are 2 months in that year where you don't have money to pay salaries because of cash flow problem.
Yeah.
And that has happened to you like in the last 6 months. And you're like, hey, you know, let me get this template and I'll make sure that I plan my payments from my clients like that. Stuff like that. So those things were extremely meaningful and helpful.
So just talk about the whole, you know, exit journey, right? So how did it all happen? Like, was that pre-planned all along the way? And who did you sell the company to? And like, just give us more details of whatever you can share there.
Sure, yeah. Apart from the number, I can share everything. So we had the typical startup story in India, right? Which is where we got the grant from the government, like the Startup India grant. We were part of an incubator where we raised our seed capital, and then we raised our angel round from a group of angels, and then raised from a micro VC. So there had been three funding rounds. And then we were trying to raise our next. And so we were out there in the market raising a few million. And one of the organization, Sign Up, which acquired us, they reached out saying they might consider leading the round, affiliate up to 30-35%. And so that was great. I was already out there pitching. And so that was nice. So we got a term sheet. They started the QD. And then I started reaching out to other investors for filling up the rest of the round. A month and a half passed by. The DD was done, but I was not able to fill the rest of the round.
Yeah.
And so ultimately, the conversation was, hey, you know, can you do the round alone? It can be smaller check size, mm-hmm. but can I do the round alone? Which obviously they didn't want to do because they are a profitable SaaS company and they were doing the investment out of their revenues, right? So, okay. Or out of their profit. So that conversation sort of didn't go as planned. A couple mm-hmm. of weeks later, Ashwin from SignUp reached out saying, hey, you know, have you considered this? And so that was a fairly brief conversation to which Anupama and I, so Anupama was my co-founder. She used to look after the product. And we had a conversation in the evening, slept the next day morning. I remember feeling a little relieved. I'll be honest with you.
Mm-hmm.
Because over the last 3.5 years, I mean, yeah. I'm saying these things that we did. I'm and these are the things that I said are the things that work.
Yeah.
But there are a lot more things that did.
Sure. Yeah.
And the stress of all of that was significant. And like to be honest, so growing the SaaS company.
And like, and, what was that strategic sort of multiple that you got, or was it more around your cash flows or revenues, EBITDA multiples? Like, what was that? I know you're not going to share me the numbers, but what was that based on?
So it was sort of between. So typically, if you go and sell a SaaS company, you're likely to get anywhere between 2.5 to 4x of your revenue, and if you raise funds, you are likely to get between 8 to 15x.
Mm-hmm.
I would say we were somewhere in the middle of those two ranges.
So your acquisition offer was well above $10 million or something like that.
I can neither confirm nor deny.
Sure. And that totally helps anyways. Yeah. So yeah, that makes a lot of sense. So yeah, Yash, I think it's been a wonderful story, right? So the way you built all of it, and you know, the way you're helping SaaS founders out there, right? I definitely recommend a lot of SaaS founders who just, you know, understood the way you've grown your company, right? So to sort of definitely mm-hmm. talk to you, reach out to you if they're sort of facing any issues there, right? And yeah, thanks for taking the time to talk to me, and hope you just have fun with Momentum, and maybe, you know, once you're ready for your next venture, just, you know, scale it to much, much greater heights. Thank you.
Absolutely. Yeah. Thank you, Upinder, for taking up this initiative. It is meaningful for SaaS founders, and thank you for having me. If there's anything that I can do, let me know. Happy to engage in any way I can.
Thank you, Yash.